Welcome to Tori Mechanach Yomi. My name is Adina Schmidman. I invite you to join me and the OU Women's Initiative Wednesday, September 28th at 12 noon Eastern Daylight Time, Tzom Gedalia, for a virtual tour with Rivi Frankel to Kever Rachel and Chevron to explore seeds of teshuvah rooted in our history. Register at ou.org/women/yr22. Wishing each of you and your family a Ksiva v'chasima tova, a year filled with health, happiness, and holiness. And now for today's perek.
Welcome to Tardi Mecha Nach Yomi with the OU Women's Initiative. My name is Shira Hochheimer, and today we will be studying Yirmiyahu, chapter 36. In the last perek, Yirmiyahu goes to a clan named Mnei Harechavim. They had a family tradition from their father not to drink wine or own real estate. They used to be nomads before they fled from the armies of the Kastim and Aram. Hashem compares the Bnei Harechavim to the Jewish people who are not listening to Hashem, even though they have more reason to do so. Hashem will punish Yehuda with galus and will reward this clan with their presence before him always, which might mean that they may have been in the Sanhedrin or that their children married Kohanim. Unlike the other prakim before and after these prakim of Lamed He and Lamed Vav, chapters 35 and 36, this perek takes place during the time of Yehoyakim, and it's unclear as to why this perek was put in this place where it's not chronological. In this perek, Yirmiyahu dictates a scroll to Baruch ben Neriah, who reads it in the Beis HaMikdash. The scroll is then brought to the king and his officers. Yehoyakim burns the scroll and tries to kill Yirmiyahu and Baruch ben Neriah. The perek ends with the nevuah against Yehoyakim and what his fate will be because of his actions. The Mayim Loi says that perek prakim lamed hei and lamed vav show how merciful is Hashem. He knew that the people deserved destruction already from the time of Yehoyakim, but he sent many nevi'im and warnings over the course of 18 years to try to change them. Verse 1 tells us that this perek takes place in the fourth year of Yehoyakim, which is the year that Nebuchadnezzar takes over from his father, defeats Paronacho, defeats Mitzrayim, and destroys Nineveh, cementing his power. At this time, says the Das Sofrim, the attitude in Yehuda is changing from mourning over Yoshiyahu to one of resolve that they won't be another stepping stone for another kingdom. This attitude needs to be tempered. Hashem tells Yirmiyahu, verse 2, Kach lecha Megillah Sefer, take for yourself a scroll and write in it everything Hashem said about Yisrael and Yehuda from the days of Yoshiyahu until that day. Chazal say that Hashem told him to write Megillas Eicha, the Book of Lamentations, which in this time included some but not all of the chapters. The reason to write this and to present it to the people was, verse 3, Ulai Yishmu Beis Yehuda es Kol Hara'ah. Maybe Yehuda will listen to all the bad Hashem plans to do, and they will do teshuva, so Hashem can forgive them for their sins. The goal, reminds the Malbim, is not for Hashem to cause pain, but so that Yehuda should be inspired to do teshuva. Yirmiyahu calls Baruch ben Neriah and dictates the words to him, which Baruch ben Neriah scribes. This Megillah Yirmiyahu dictated is different than the other nevuos in this Sefer. Megillos are part of Ksuvim, which were written with Ruach HaKodesh, divine inspiration. Baruch ben Neriah could therefore be used as a scribe to write the words because he was writing what Yirmiyahu said, and this could lighten Yirmiyahu's work. We find in verse 5 that Yirmiyahu was currently imprisoned. We don't know why exactly, as he was free at other times during the reign of Yehoyakim. Because of this imprisonment, Yirmiyahu needs Baruch ben Neriah to be his messenger and go to the Beis HaMikdash. He was to read the Megillah on a fast day in front of all the people gathered there. Fast days were declared when there was a communal tragedy. People from all of Yehuda would converge on the Beis HaMikdash for special services. Yirmiyahu requested that the Megillah be read on a fast day, in the hope that maybe the nation would be willing to listen to Musar and do Teshuvah. In verse 8, Baruch ben Neriah does exactly as Yirmiyahu commanded. He waits until the month of Kislev, the ninth month, during the fifth year of Yehoyakim, when Yehoyakim proclaimed a fast day for the people and everyone began to gather in the Beis HaMikdash. Rabbi Landi, in uncovering Sefer Yirmiyahu, finds fascinating parallels between the dates in the Babylonian Chronicles and our Perek. The Babylonian Chronicles are ancient documents preserved from that time, which write short descriptions of what happened in a particular year. The Babylonian Chronicles describe a military march Nebuchadnezzar had begun along the coast of Israel to conquer territories from Egypt. During Kislev, he destroyed the well-fortified city of Ashkelon. He marched back to Babel 2 months later in the month of Shvat. Rabbi Landy also cites archaeological evidence of massive destruction that occurred in Ashkelon at this time that would have decimated the city. What this means is that during Kislev of that year, the people of Yehuda knew they were in danger and a fast day was appropriate. Baruch ben Neriah goes up to one of the upper chambers, which Rabbi Landy suggests, based on descriptions in the Parak and what we know of from the second Beis HaMikdash, would have been like a stage over the large crowd gathered below. One of the prominent nobles, Michayahu ben Gemariahu ben Shaphan, hears what is being read and relays the message to the king's palace, where all the important officers are gathered. Verse 12 lists all the officers. We recognize some of the father's names from the time of Yoshiahu. Chazal say that though Jehoiakim was evil, his advisors were still righteous and were following in the path of their fathers. Michayahu told the officers what he heard Baruch say to all the people. The advisors immediately send a messenger to bring Baruch and his scroll to the king's palace. They are polite and gracious. Verse 15. Shevna, ukra'ena be'azneinu. Please sit down and read in our ears this Megillah. Baruch reads it to them. As they are listening, they start looking at each other. Verse 16. Pachadu ishel re'ehu. They each one turned in fear to the other. They are nervous that one of them will tell the king, and then the others will be blamed for not letting him know sooner. They tell Baruch, thank you so much for coming. We will share your message with the king. They then probe him a little bit more and ask, tell us, please, how did you write these words? These officers had already decided that Yirmiyahu was a true dummy and was not worthy of death, as we saw in Perek Chavav, chapter 26. They were not sure yet if Baruch ben Neriah was legitimate. Baruch ben Neriah tells them that he is only repeating that which was dictated to him by Yirmiyahu. They are Yirmiyahu's words, and he was merely the scribe. Before the officers take care of this internally, they first warn Baruch ben Neriah to protect himself. Verse 19, Lech, hisaser atav Yirmiyahu, v'ish al yeda eifo atem. Go, hide, you and Yirmiyahu, and do not let anyone know where you are. The king had a violent temper, and so Yirmiyahu and Baruch would be hunted if they did not protect themselves. Yirmiyahu should try to find a place to hide in the prison. The officers bring the scroll to the chamber of Elishama the scribe, a trusted officer who would protect the holy item, and then they went to go talk to the king. Unfortunately, the king wanted to hear the words directly from the scroll. Verses 21 and 22 set the stage. Right now, it's Kislev, which is the winter. The king had two different residences, one for the summer, which had a crossbreeze, and one for the winter, which had solid walls. He is sitting in his winter palace in front of an indoor fire pit, which acted like a portable heater. All the officers are standing around him, and the courtier reads the Megillah to him. The Yehudi starts to read, Vayhi kikro Yehudi shalosh tilasos v'arba, and it came to pass when the Yehudi had read 3 or 4 columns, Yikra'eha b'sa'ar ha-sofer, v'ashlech el ha'esh asher al ha'ach. He cut it up with a knife and cast it into the fire that was in the fire pit. Why was Jehoiakim angered after he read 3 or 4 columns? Chazal in Moin Katan 26a say that Jehoiakim listened to the first few lines of Echa and wasn't bothered by them. The officers read the line that says, the city sits alone. Jehoiakim responded, big deal, I'm still king. They read, she weeps in the night. He replied, but I'm still king. They read, Yehuda is exiled from poverty. Again he replied, I'm still king. The roads of Sion are in mourning, but I'm king. Then they read the fifth line, her enemies will rule. Finally, Jehoiakim was furious. His wounded pride could not bear this line. He asked, who said this? They answered him with the end of the pasuk, Hashem has brought her sorrow for her many sins. This was the ultimate travesty. Jehoiakim took the scroll, ripped it up to shreds, and had it burnt. Jehoiakim lacked any empathy or care for his nation. The only thing he cared about was himself and his power. If he was insulted or challenged, he had a violent temper to make sure things changed back to the way he liked them. He took the whole scroll and burnt it until it was ash. Verse 24, the king was just angry at the message, and the horrific words of the scroll had no impact. V'lo pachadu, v'lo karu es bigdehem hamelech v'chol avadav. The king, nor all of his servants, were afraid and did not tear their clothes in mourning after they heard these words. The Das Sofrim draws a parallel to Ahav. When Ahav heard a nevuah from Eliyahu that he would lose his kingdom, he tore his clothes. The words of Ich are horrific, yet Yehoyakim had no reaction. He wanted to show that he was strong, unemotional, tough, and he wouldn't be rattled by anything. Yehoyakim and his servants also did not show the Megillah the proper respect, as it had within it the name of Hashem and should have been treated like a Torah scroll. They watched it burn and did not react. There were a few individuals who tried to intervene. Elnathan, Adulayahu, Ugmaryahu begged the king not to burn this holy scroll, but he did not listen. The king now wants revenge. He commands three individuals, Yerachmeel ben Hamelech, Surayahu ben Azriel, and Shelemyahu ben Avdeel. And they were commanded to grab Baruch ben Neriah and Yirmiyahu. He doesn't trust his officers to do it, as they are still loyal to the values of Yoshiyahu. So he asks his own child to get involved. These men try, but verse 26, Vayestireim Hashem. Hashem hid them. He made a miracle, and they just didn't see them. Hashem comes to Yirmiyahu in Nevuah after these dramatic events. Hashem commands him to take another Megillah scroll and write on it all that was written before from the first Megillah that had been burned. And then he commanded Yirmiyahu that he should address Yehoyakim, who was so angered by the message that his land would be destroyed. Verses 28 to 30 refers to Yehoyakim as king of Yehuda three times. This role is significant. Megillas Eicha is a shocking and depressing text. The king was scared that it would depress the people and stop them from fighting, so he lashed out. Even if a regular person had acted this way, there should be a consequence. How much more so when the person who acted like this is the king who sets an example for the people? The consequence would be, verse 30, Lachin ko amar Hashem al Yehoyakim melech Yehuda. Therefore, says Hashem concerning Yehoyakim, the king of Yehuda, Lo ye lo yoshev al kisei David. He will have none to sit on the throne of David. His son, Yehoyachin, will rule for a mere 3 months and 10 days, and then spend the most of his life in jail. Yehoyakim was annoyed that his reign was being undermined. His children wouldn't even serve in his place. V'nivlaso tiyem mushleches l'chorev bayom v'lakerach balayla. And Yehoyakim's dead body shall be cast out in the day to the heat, and in the night to the frost. When Yehoyakim was captured by Vavel, Yehoyakim died, and his body was tossed out and not even buried. He was so concerned with his honor as a king that he would be demeaned and treated like an animal. The awful descriptions that were written in the Megillah but he wouldn't listen to will be happening. Hashem will be bringing them, Aleihem, Ve'al Yoshvei Yushalayim, Ve'al Ish Yehuda, on them, on the inhabitants of Yushalayim, and on the men of Yehuda. The parak concludes with Yirmiyahu taking another scroll, giving it to Baruch ben Neriah, who wrote on it everything that he had written before, and verse 32, V'od nosaf aleihem devarim rabim kahema. And additional things were added to them, like these words. There are two opinions cited by the Radak from the Gemara. The first opinion is that the original scroll had the first parak of Eicha, and then Yirmiyahu added the final four prakim. The second opinion is that the first scroll had the first, second, and fourth parak, which were written in Aleph Beis order, and the second scroll added the third parak with its triplicate Aleph Beis and the last parak. In this parak, at Yirmiyahu's command, Baruch ben Neriah reads Megillas Eicha in the Beis HaMikdash. He and the scroll get brought to the palace, where Baruch ben Neriah is saved by the officers, and Yehoyakim burns the scroll. Yehoyakim seeks to kill Baruch ben Neriah and Yirmiyahu, but Hashem miraculously hides them. Hashem then tells Yirmiyahu that Yehoyakim will be punished. One lesson we can learn from this parak is the danger of defensiveness and anger. Yehoyakim liked being in charge, and everyone was clearly afraid of his wrath. He thought his anger was protecting himself. But really, that anger stopped him from helping himself as he wasn't able to hear any Mussar, process the messages, and change in time. We will all have times when we feel angry. Anger is a sign that we need to think and discover what is our anger trying to tell us. It may be telling us that we are unsafe, so we can thank our anger and then respond thoughtfully and systematically without anger. If we get angry because our ego is hurt, or because we feel threatened, that anger is not helping us. We must find ways to put aside our anger so that we can listen to a message that may be constructive and can save us from an even worse fate. Thank you for studying together, L'Iloy Nishmas, Rivka Schwab, Rivka Bas Alexander Sender.